Scripture today will be from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 16 through 16. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we give this time before your presence and we ask that may you be the one who speaks to all of us and may we all be transformed by the power of your love. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Thank you, Super Deacon. He does great, isn't it? Okay. We are right now in this season of talking about where are we rooted. We can root in our lives in many other places, but where can we root ourselves in a way that we can grow and thrive? I love these little plants in here, and as you have known, I'm an ignorant about plants, but I love to see how they are able to grow stronger because of how they are connected with the roots, and that helps them to grow. And that's some of the things that we have been learning through here and through this time, and we learn that to be able to be rooted, we know about what it is to be rooted in a religion of the heart. As United Methodists, we call ourselves as people of the religion of the heart. What does it mean? It means a state of possessing righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's when we learn that anything that I'm learning in my mind is connected with my emotion, and that brings a reaction of an action of love. We learned last week about grace. We are rooted in God's grace. And this grace is developed in a very special way. And I absolutely love the way the United Methodist Church explains grace. We understand there are three different stages of this grace, right? The prevenient grace. Can you say that word? Prevenient. That's the grace that is working in our lives even before we are aware of that. Then we talk about justifying grace, and that's when you say, you know, that grace that is following me, that actions of God, that love that God is providing is something that now I'm deciding that it's part of my life. Some people have a radical moment of the decision. Some is more like in different stages, and it's kind of step by step, but we get there. And then we talk about the sanctifying grace, and it means that it's not just about you saying to Jesus, I'm going to be saved, and that's it. It's about growing and maturing in that faith. So this is where we root ourselves. But I also want you to think about this. We have talked about a little bit of the sequoia trees and how beautiful and tall they are. And we talk about an individual tree and the roots, how they connect with other trees to be able to be strong. But it's also beautiful, as you can see in this picture, to see the whole picture. But you see, to be able to look at this kind of environment, one of the things we need to remember too is the ecosystem. You know, like we need to realize that this growth has a process so they can grow to that level. As with the plants, we also have to have a healthy ecosystem to be able to grow. So what is that healthy ecosystem? And that is when we realize if I want to grow strong and if I want to grow healthy, I need to think in myself as a person who's growing in holiness. Don't be scared about the word holiness or holy. Every time we hear that word, we think that we need to be standing up in a pedestal and just with a kind of a face of joy and or like, you know, I'm perfect and I don't do any mistake. That's not what we're talking about, holiness. It's very different. I love the way that John Wesley defines holiness. He says, I continue to dream and pray about a revival of holiness in our day that moves forth in mission and creates authentic community to fulfill God's creational intentions. This is very, very beautiful. Because as you can see, what he's expecting, and it's so funny, this is centuries of years ago, but I think this will be our prayer today, don't you think? I wish the same, that there is a revival of holiness so people can be unleashed. Now, you probably cannot put those two words together. Sometimes you say holiness, unleashed, how can they work? It's like that religion of the heart. How is it that you can be holy and talk about a life that is according to God's will, but it's not a life of being very strict? It's the opposite. He's expecting you that if you have a life of holiness, then you are what? Unleash. You are free. You know, when I read this word unleash, it reminds me one time that I went to the beach and I saw a dog running in the beach. Have you ever seen a dog doing that? Let me show you through this. Don't you want to be a dog? I mean, I see that and I'm like, I want to be a dog, you know. But it's unleashed. As soon as that dog felt like I'm free, nothing stopped the guy. He knew where he was going. So that's exactly what we are talking about, being a person in holiness. It's a person that is free. Free from anything that is tying you and giving you the freedom to grow and thrive in life. So what we are learning through the scripture today is precisely how can I get to that place of holiness. What we read here on 1 Peter is very special. There are five different commands that he gives there. If you have your bulletin, you have the scripture over there. So you know there are five things that he's telling almost in an imperative. Can you find them? If not, you can find them in here because I put it a little bit bolder. Which is the first one? So prepare. Prepare your minds for actions and exercise self-control. The second one, put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as a God's obedient children. The next one, don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says you must be holy because I am holy. So you see, if you read the scripture there, it's a lot of imperatives. And it can sound the opposite of unleash. It can sound more that they are trying to restrict us. But you need to realize the very first word that is there. What is it? So, or in your bulletin says, therefore. Usually when you have a word like that, it's telling you there is something very important that happened before that takes you to that place. And what we find on 1 Peter, if you remember the background of this letter, these are people who have been persecuted. This is the first century church. They are going through a lot of struggles. And that is that the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ brings them joy, that helps them to understand that they have a hope for an eternal life. So when they get that, they understand, you know, we're going through a lot of things. There are difficult things, but we know who we are to confront this world. We are children of God who have been saved by His grace. Because of that, because of how wonderful it is, because that gives them the opportunity to be in connection with a mighty God, then therefore we can follow these instructions. So the important thing when we understand, when we talk about holiness, is that you need to remember holiness is a reaction of grace. We saw last week about this grace. God has conquered your heart. God has come to give you a second chance. He's also guiding your life on a daily basis. He's that mighty God who's walking with you with a comforter. He's bringing meaning to your life. He's showing you through His grace that any sin that has been done by you or against you, the Lord has carried that on the cross and you are safe. So when you know the value of your life, then you want to stay on that life because in that place you are free. You know where you're going with the Lord. So the very first thing that the Lord asks us to do is what? Prepare. Prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. What does it mean? It means to be prepared. That is a very special word that Peter is using in there in the original. What he's talking is about something like this. People at that time, they were using this kind of big ropes. You know what I'm talking about? Even the disciples, it was just like the choir ropes in here. So anytime that they needed to get ready for an action, to move, to clean, or when they were fishing, they won't do it with the ropes all loose. They can fall with that. So they will do a very special way to tie them. And through that, they could move better. That's the word that Peter is using in this place. Prepare. Get ready. I don't know if you have ever read on the book of Judges about Gideon. And he was one of those judges. And he was preparing a group of people to be the ones who protect the people of God. And they were going to go in a fight. And Gideon was excited because he had 10,000. But then God told him to choose a specific group. They went to a place and they were drinking water. And God told him, you're going to pick just the ones who are standing up. All the ones who went to drink water and they sat down in the floor, don't pick them. And it was almost kind of God telling him, you're going to pick those who are prepared. If you're preparing yourself to war, you cannot be totally in your kneels trying to drink water. You are looking up, so you're prepared to see who's coming. You are prepared. That's the same action here that God is asking us to do. Be prepared. Guys, do you know exactly what's going to happen to you next month? Can you assure me that in the next 11 months of this year, you will never get sick? Can you assure me that all the problems that you have faced in 2018, they just poop, disappear in 2019? Can you assure me that you're going to win the lottery and you're going to become a millionaire? No, right? Nothing. We cannot assure anything. Are you going to have, you're not going to have any cold or flu or allergies anymore? We wish a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, right? It won't. We cannot assure that. But we can assure one thing. Be prepared. Be prepared to whatever we're confronting in life. Through that, we will be able to go through the circumstances. So how do we prepare? And here we come back to what John Wesley was always recommending, the religion of the heart. Prepare your mind. Prepare what you think. Prepare how you are doing exercise in your thought process. So when you are clear in your thought process, you can react to the circumstances of your life. What's the best place to feed your mind? Facebook? Right now? Really? No. What is your best place? The news? Oprah? Dr. Phil? Dr. Oz? Dr. Pepper, you know, or whatever in the doctor, we don't. So feed it with something that brings you back to remember who you are and in what God you are relying and the purpose of your life. And that is the scripture in the Bible. We need to go back to say, you know, God, I'm going to be living my life according to this book that shows me your love, but also reminds me who I am for you, God, and the purpose of my life. And it says here, all scripture, this is 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by who? By God. This is very important for us as United Methodist people. We believe this is the word of God for all of us. It's inspired by God. Old Testament and New Testament, we believe on that. We do not negotiate with this. I have people saying, this is a good book to guide you to be happy. That's not what we believe. We believe this is the word of God that sometimes will guide me to things that won't make me happy, but will make me full. And that is exactly what we're talking about. So it's all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. You see how clear is that? So it helps me to know, do I need to understand if this is right or wrong? Go to the scripture. It teaches me what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It points you. It points me when I'm wrong. Sometimes you're reading the scripture and you're going to feel like, why am I feeling guilty? Has it happened to you? It's very healthy if it has happened to you. Because it's a way where God is precisely cleansing you up, helping you to realize, you know, why am I still bitter of this? You know, and when I read the scripture, it's telling me I shouldn't do that kind of behavior. It makes me feel bad about that. Why? It's conviction. It's a way where God is helping me to be back to align to himself. And then it says, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives, it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So in the scripture, I find direction. I hope that as this 2019 year, what if we take almost as a current worship service, a commitment, that we will learn some scripture by memory. I'm not asking you to tell like Psalm 119, because it's the largest psalm in the Bible. I'm asking you more like, let's go Psalm 117, who's the smallest psalm in the Bible. Or who knows the smallest scripture in the Bible? Jesus wept. Very good. Which is the longest? That's your homework for next week. All right? You know, it's in the Old Testament, by the way. But so we need to learn the scripture and allow that to shape our lives. Remember that when we learn the scripture, it also makes an impact in our own life because of God moving in that learning of the scripture. So that prepares our minds and also helps us to exercise self-control. Then the next command, what is it? Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. All your hope. This is the focus of our prayer. The first thing is telling me, how do I get ready? Okay, Lupina, be ready for what? To put all my hope in that salvation. That's where we are going. If people ask you, so why are you Christian? Where are you going with that? We are going to a specific place, a place of hope because of the grace of God. That's where you and I are going. So what does that take me? It takes me to learn and to remember to be focused. There is a purpose on your life, why you are saved. And it's this part of scripture also in 1 Peter. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are going back to that religious of the heart. We are able to have our emotion grounded in who? In Christ. So your hope and mine, the purpose of our life is to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's guiding our lives today. And we know that for eternity, there will be one time when together we will celebrate with the Lord face to face. That's our hope. And especially think about the people that Peter was writing. They were in persecution. They were literally killing them because they were Christians. So what do you tell to all of them? So you tell them, you know, guys, you're living a hard time right now. You're going through struggles. You are literally dying because of this. But remember the living hope. Remember this is just for a little bit. But you know that God is there with you. It's the same with us. We are living different circumstances. Perhaps the difference between the first century church and ours is that our struggle is not the same. In that moment, the struggle was that they were persecuted. In ours, I think we need to deal with apathy. There is almost like this demon of apathy going in life. Thinking like, you know, I don't need to really to listen to God. He's just one option. But we need to remember that we are people that bring that source of living hope to Christ, of Christ to others, because we have received that. So our focus is to go there, to that living hope. Then what is the next command? So you must, what? Live as God's obedient children. We need to live like that. Now, how does that look? Is we need to learn to be obedient. And obedience sometimes is hard. I like this one a lot. The scripture says, do not what? Conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is very hard, guys. I love that picture of the fish, because what it's focusing is to say, you are not going to look like the others when you are obedient to God. You get that? You're going to look different. Now, because you look different, don't be snob. You get that? Don't be snobbed. That is not healthy either. Then you look like the others. But we need to learn that there will be many times when you need to take a decision and it's going to go different than the rest of the people. And that's because of the principles that are in your heart, because God is leading you there. So be obedient, not to conform to this world. Remember that this is not your end. This is just one chapter of your story. Then the next command that we hear is this. What? Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. Don't go back to previous sins. You know, when we are in stress, what do we do? Has it happened to you? Or is it just happening to pastors? That when you are stressed, you tend to go back to what has been your behavior before you knew Christ. Like in my case, when I'm worried, when I am going through stress, I worry. I get anxious. That's my life before. Why? Because that's where we have been many times. That's our coping mechanism to deal with things. So here what he's telling me is don't do that. You already know what's good. You know where to go. So be shaped by what God is doing. Clean your heart so you learn to deal with problems in different ways. Now that process, we also need to think about this. This little bitty tree is a sequoia tree. But one thing I learned is that for these trees to be able to grow, there will be times that they need to go through fire. Do you know that? That whenever you see in the national parks that there is a fire, when they are natural fires, are actually very healthy. I didn't know that. But I learned that because it says, with those kind of fires, the natural ones, it's a way that the nature, I feel God create this in nature, where it's a way to clean up the area so these trees can grow better. So you clean the leaves around, you clean those things that are kind of in the way for these trees to just grow and develop. So when that is already burned, then you have the trees that are strong, they are the ones who are going to keep going. So there are times that fire, while it's not pleasant, is necessary. You know where I'm going? Right? How many of us, we have gone through those fires, right? And they are not fun. And the people that Peter was writing, they knew that. They were going through a lot of fires, and some of those was because they were following the gospel. It says just some verses before, in this you greatly rejoice. Through now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness, how you say that? That one, of your faith, being much more precious than gold, than that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you see, those fires is sometimes the ways where God, in his love, is going to come and tell you, if you keep doing this, you're going to hurt. I remember one time I met one pastor who I admire and respect a lot. He was one of my spiritual fathers, I can say. And he told me that when he was young, he tend to have a season in his life where he was kind of taking a detour in his faith. You know what I'm talking about? I hope you know that I'm talking about and you didn't experience. But if you did experience, you really know what I'm talking about, right? So he decided to take that tour of his faith. And every time that he was saying to his mom, goodbye, mom, I will be back later. And the mom knew that he was going to do something that wasn't nice. He would say to his son, instead of saying, God bless you, goodbye, he would say, I pray that God won't bless you where you're going. And then he got angry one day. And he said, mom, every child hears the mom saying, God bless you when they leave, and you're telling me the opposite. Why do you do that? And the mom says, because precisely I don't want God to bless you where you are, so you know that that's going to hurt you. And it ended hurting him, and that helped him to come back. But there are those moments in life where because of God's love, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt because God is not going to allow you to stay in that place. It's going to be uncomfortable because he's teaching you, you know, this is not the right place for you. And there are times when we're going to need to struggle for growth, We're going to need to be able to say, God, I don't like to do this. It's uncomfortable. I'd rather stay here nice in my corner with my sin, and I'm happy, and everything sounds great. I can hide it. Well, nobody knows. And we know. At the end of the day, we know. We all notice it. Because when we have that sin hiding, it shapes how we behave in our daily life. It makes an impact in how we take decisions, because we're not allowing our life to be unleashed to be able to enjoy what God is giving us. So when we go through those trials, let the Lord be the one who guides you to burn those things that set you in a place that is not healthy and come back to be able to be free. And then the last part it says, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. So we all have that call, a call to be holy. But when you have seen in the scripture, what does that mean? What does it mean that my life now is walking with the Lord and I am now committing to grow as a Christian? You know what that means? It means that you and I are unleashed, are free. So I pray that through this time, through this beginning of the year, you start learning to be unleashed. Guys, don't try to keep your hands tight on things that are giving you just comfort for a little bit in your life. And sometimes it's perhaps scary to let those things go because we have become codependent to them in life. And we believe that as long as I have that on my hands, I'm going to be okay. But you know, that is not allowing you to put your hands open to receive the blessings from the Lord and to run to places where God is setting you now. So during this new year of 2019, when we do not know how it's going to go, when we do not know if at the end we're going to be rich or poor, sick or healthy, alive or not, what we know is that if we start this life in holiness, we will be unleashed. We will be free. And we will be learned to enjoy the life that God has given us. But we will make an impact on others. Didn't we smile with the dog when he jumped? You see, when a person is unleashed in holiness, they produce a difference in their life that impacts the ones that surround. So when you are in a holiness of life, you make others smile. You make others be able to see, you know, I can live that life too through the power of the Lord. So can we say, you know, if somebody asks, who is the people of the current at Northern Hills? Can we say, you know, we are not perfect people, but we're people who are looking for holiness. Can we say that? So if you want to commit here to live a holy life with the Lord, let's stand up together and let's commit our lives to grow together in that holiness.